Blog Talk Radio.
Tim Stafford with the Promise of Hope radio show right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And I'm, of course, today joined with my super host, Chuck McAllister, from not only Promise of Hope, but Kentucky Baptist Convention, Baptist Global Response, the guru on affinity evangelism, and not only that, but hunter, fisherman, and, legendary... joke teller. You run out, Chuck, after a while. You just don't know how to end. You just don't know how to end it.
Brother.
But we are glad to be with you today. And today
you're going to have enough to do.
It's the 27th, and we're just excited to be on the show with you again today. Thanks for joining us. And, well, Chuck, it seems like we got a lot to talk about. I know that... you have been ultra busy. I think the first thing I'd like to just ask you about is, of course, all of us are watching the events that have been going on with the earthquake in Nepal, tell us maybe give us fill us in a little bit about remind us again about Baptist Global Response, and I know you're really a big part of that, and what kinds of things they're doing not only in Nepal but other types of these kind of disasters around the world, and just help us understand what goes on when a disaster like that happens.
Okay, well, of course, the earthquake in Nepal was devastating. It was 16 times the size and scope of the earthquake that devastated Haiti. So that gives you an idea of the tremendous power of it. Plus, it was an extremely shallow earthquake, meaning that it was less than 10 miles in depth at the epicenter, which usually means that it's a much more destructive earthquake. Estimates are that it impacted as many as 6.6 million people. Baptist Global Response, just to show you how God works, Francis Horton, who is the area representative for Baptist Global Response, was in Kathmandu with Pat Melanthon, who is the disaster relief trainer and coordinator for Baptist Global Response. And they were conducting sphere training seminars in Kathmandu in February. Sphere training is the disaster relief training that is completed by the folks who are going to provide leadership in a disaster relief setting. It is used as the primary means of qualifications for disaster relief leadership by the United Nations. Both Janice, my wife, and I have been through the sphere training, went through it last June, and it's pretty intensive for a week, in the terms of the training that you go through. But to show you how God has worked in this, Francis and Pat, who are on the BGR staff, were in Kathmandu in February conducting the sphere training. So there are already a team of locals that have received the sphere training. Within one day of the event, Francis was on site organizing the folks who've been through the sphere training. BGR has already designated $50,000 to the disaster relief and has already implemented a disaster relief plan. They're in the process right now of ensuring that plan gets implemented. We're also receiving regular updates, and anyone that wants to can go to our website. We'll try to get some on Promise of Hope website. You can also go to the BGR website. You'll see that there is a segment there that talks about the Nepal earthquake, and there is a button you can click on and actually donate directly to the disaster relief effort for the quake itself. So we're up, running. You know, I've been getting regular updates as chairman of the board of directors for BGR so that we're aware of what's going on. Jeff Palmer, the executive director, happened to be in Kenya when it hit, and so he's getting regular updates from Francis Horton. But with Francis on site, Pat running things from Thailand so that he's kind of channeling all of the disaster relief into the area. BGR has assumed the leadership role in disaster relief for the earthquake. And so funds are already beginning to come in. We know that the death toll now has already exceeded 2,000, and it is continuing to climb. I'm getting daily updates from Jeff Palmer and from Pat and from Francis. So, you know, right now it's just they're still digging folks out. They're still trying to get food established. The primary problem right now is aftershocks. Some of the aftershocks are almost as strong as the initial quake. People are very frightened to even go back into their homes. And so most people in the Kathmandu and those areas are actually sleeping in the streets. So we're trying to get temporary shelters built for them so that they can be housed and also get food shelters up so that they can be fed and clothed or taken care of it if any need clothing or anything like that. But the devastation is pretty massive. You know, it has triggered disaster relief initiatives that are necessary not only in Nepal but also in northern India and in southern China. So it's affected three major countries. It's affected a wide area. I'm talking, the epicenter was somewhere around Kathmandu, and it triggered a massive landslide on Mount Everest over 100 miles away, which ended up just about taking out the Mount Everest base camp, which was filled with climbers. This is the beginning of the climbing season, and there were a couple of Americans killed in the base camp avalanche as well, and some others that were taken. So, you know, it's a massive undertaking to get this disaster relief moving, and it's pretty devastating. And, you know, we'd encourage our listeners to participate. You know, they can be assured that as they donate to the relief effort, that it all goes to ensuring that the necessary supplies are purchased and that, you know, we have the people in the field that are necessary to ensure that everything is handled expeditiously and appropriately. So we have relationships with those folks that are locals through Francis's and Pat's sphere training they did there in February. So we have the channels already set up. Everything's flowing. In fact, within less than 6 hours, BGR was already implementing disaster relief initiatives through the local folks that had gone through the sphere training. They were the first ones really to get in there and get set up. Now we're kind of leading the way. So anybody that wants to participate, this is the best way to do it. Just go to the BGR website, and you'll see the banner for Nepal, and you can click on Donate Now and give as you choose.
Yeah, it's really simple. And if you want to, I know that's at gobgr.org, right? So it's gobgr.org.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Gobgr.org, that's correct.
And you're right, there's a big picture of Nepal. You click on it, and they'll say donate, click here, and you can just click right there. I'm looking at it right now. And the other thing, too, Chuck, is that people can know, too, that if you just want to donate just to the disaster relief fund part of, you know, just if you just want to, you know, donate in general, maybe you're saying, you know, I'd like to be able to do something, I can't do a lot, you can also text BGR to 80888. So if you just dial the, you know, like you're dialing a phone number, 80888, but you text the letters BGR to it, that'll donate $10 to the disaster relief fund, and that would be helpful too for people to be able to give. So if you want to be able to give, you can donate directly to the efforts in Nepal, or you can even just get out your cell phone and just text BGR to 80888, and you'll be able to give that way too. And these $10, I mean, we've seen it happen, Chuck. These $10 gifts mean a lot. I mean, we've known that from other disasters in the past, but that people who give even $10, it goes a long way to helping us support the work that's being done in these countries that are in such desperate need.
Exactly. And now, can you donate, if you text BGR to 80888, you can donate more than $10 if you choose, right?
I think so. I'm just reading here what's on the website. It just says that
okay. If
you text BGR to 80888, then you donate $10 to the disaster relief fund. So that's just what it says here. It might be that it sends you, gives you the ability to get more than that. But, you know, it also says that you can click here to donate toward, there's a form that you can also fill out and you can give any amount. So there's really different ways on the same page. It appears from BGR here how to give, and so that's really great. Our listeners can just go to gobgr.org and click on donate, and you can donate. If you click just on the word donate, you're right. It just comes up a donation form. You can give any amount. So either way, however you want to do it, you can give toward this effort. I think it'd be really, even the smallest amount can help these efforts that are happening. So I'm excited about that. That BGR is being. I'm really amazed, Chuck, at how fast BGR can respond to these things. I mean, within 6 hours to have somebody not only on site but you know doing the work. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's just shows you the power of Baptist Global Response. And I don't think I don't know. I meet a lot of Baptist people that are part of the Baptist convention, and they're not even totally aware of BGR. And when I tell them about it, they're just amazed. They're amazed that we have such a thing. And yet I don't know how you miss it. I mean, it's everywhere. We know it. So it's, sometimes I think there's a disconnect among the people in the churches. And I'm just glad that there's a place for us to be able to talk about this and get it out to more people that, hey, this is really happening. And a lot of what's going on at the Southern Baptist Convention is it's really colossal in scope. And I don't think people really, I think sometimes people miss that. I think they miss it. I don't think it's anybody's fault. It's just kind of the way it is. You know, I mean, people just don't, we're just living our day-to-day life and we just don't know necessarily that within 6 hours of the earthquake, BGR is there and they're coordinating the efforts. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing that's happening.
Well, and Tim, I think it's just because we're such a new organization. You know, we're less than 10 years old.
Sure.
Of course, Red Cross and those organizations have been around forever. But I think one of the reasons that BGR can respond so quickly is because we have such a strong network of national believers that are involved. Now, we have our area representatives that are serving on the various continents, and then these guys are all the time going in and training the nationals. And that's exactly what happened. You know, actually, we had disaster relief set up in 6 hours there in Nepal, but in much less time than that, the nationals were already responding and beginning to administer disaster relief because they received the training in February. And here we are, you know, just 2 months later, and they're implementing the very training that they received. Now, what's happening now is because of the connection that occurs between BGR and all of the state conventions, disaster relief arms in the United States, we have the initial response of BGR on the site setting up the disaster relief response. But then it's going to be necessary for some long-term disaster relief to be taking place as well, and debris cleanup and other things. And so BGR has already begun to coordinate with the various state conventions in the United States and their disaster relief people to prepare teams to actually go over to Nepal and to start that process of working with the nationals of beginning to engage in cleanup, beginning to engage in ongoing food distribution, ongoing reconstruction to ensure that we start to give the Nepalese an opportunity of the restoration of some dignity of life. And the thing we cannot forget in all this, Tim, is that you know, yes, these are important needs that must be met, but what BGR stands on basically are two legs, and that is not only the demonstration, but also the proclamation of the gospel. So that,
right,
you know, when you support BGR, not only are you ensuring that quality disaster relief is being done, not only are you ensuring that everything that is being done to engage with that area that has experienced the disaster is being taken care of, it is being done by those who have the premium training that's available through Sphere Training. In fact, Pat Melanchon, who works for BGR, also is the primary Sphere Training for the United Nations. I mean, he does it. And so you're not only ensuring that the training is optimum, the people have been trained as well as is possible and can ever be done, but we're also training Christian nationals who are going to go in, work with their brothers and sisters, and share the gospel. And you know, we make it our mantra that, you know, we are helping people encounter Jesus through the demonstration and the proclamation of the gospel. So, you know, we encourage churches to participate. You will, within the next few days, be seeing videos that will be posted by Francis and some others in regard to the ongoing disaster relief that's being done. And they can go to the BGR, gobgr.org website, and, you know, you can download those videos and you can show them actually in your church service. Have everybody text BGR to 80888. And, you know, just right there in the worship service, you know, everybody could give $10 or so. And who knows, it might be the very thing that keeps a family from starving and allows them to have an introduction to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, and that's really what, in my mind, you know, why would I give to BGR over, you know, the Red Cross or any of the others that you know, I would be inclined to give to in a disaster like this? Well, because I know that BGR stands for the gospel. And
that's right.
I think we have to be cognizant of that. I mean, you know, I'm not suggesting that the American Red Cross doesn't do good work, because they do, and I'm not suggesting that other groups don't do good work, because they do good work. But what I like is knowing that, you know, what I donate to BGR translates into the gospel being shared with people at their needs are being met, yes, but the gospel, their greatest need is also being met, and that is the knowledge of who Jesus is. And I just think that's important. I think that's what makes BGR so special to me. And as a person that, you know, sits in a church every week, and I know that when I see something like this happen, I know, I have a good feeling about the fact that I know that BGR is on it, and they're doing everything they can to bring people the gospel in these areas that are under disastrous conditions. And I think that's absolutely amazing. And I've had the privilege, of course, because of this show, I've had the privilege of being on the phone with Francis Horton and Mr. Melanchon and all the different people that you've, and many others that you have mentioned. And you know, I think people need to understand that these are not just folks that, you know, just really have always really had a desire to do this kind of work. And so now that BGR exists, it's a platform for them to get into something they wouldn't normally get into. These are people who are very serious about, these are career people in global response and disaster response. These are people that are very, very well qualified, and they are excellent. They are the best of the best at what they do. And they are recognized by not only just Christians, but like you said, the United Nations, I mean, people all over the world, as being the best at what they do. And we have the privilege of having them as a part of BGR. I think that's, to me, that's just, not that we needed to be talked into it anymore, Chuck, but I mean, that just, to me, that seals the deal. If it needed to be sealed, I know that, hey, look, you know, you got a guy that's really, or a family, or a couple, or whatever, that this is what they do. I mean, this is what they've always, I mean, this is what they're good at. You know, they're going to go and they're going to make sure that this gets done right, and that the gospel gets to them as well.
Absolutely. And you know, the other arm of BGR also, Tim, is that when they're not responding, and even as they respond to disasters, They're also engaged in hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds of projects around the world that are community development projects, that are relieving of human suffering projects, and then they use those projects as platforms for sharing the gospel. BGR generated over 20,000 salvation decisions last year alone. And my wife and I are headed this July. We'll be going to South Africa, and we'll be engaged in one of the BGR's projects there, and that is the hospice buckets. We'll be engaged in delivering buckets to individuals that are dying of AIDS, and these particular five-gallon buckets will meet their personal hygiene and comfort needs for the last month of their life. And as we deliver those, we'll have the opportunity of sharing gospel with them. The state of Kentucky last year generated 4,800 of those buckets that are being delivered this year to Africa to be taken to the AIDS patients there. In August, there is in Zimbabwe a hospital that BGR has completely refitted. It was basically shut down, had been deserted. And in Zimbabwe, they'll be actually having a dedication service this year in August because of disaster relief and other construction teams that have gone in and medical teams that have completely refitted and reestablished that hospital. And so you have a lot of those type of community development projects that are going on that act as platforms for you know, individuals to engage locals with the gospel as well. So, you know, it's something that is there. It's kind of quietly in the background, but it's doing monumental work in multiple ways that few people are even aware of. So, and anyone that chooses to can so donate. You know, this year Janice and I, rather than give each other Christmas presents, this past year, we bought goats, and we gave quite a few goats to families that were able to utilize those goats to help them develop self-sustainability for their for themselves. And so we took everything we would have spent on Christmas, and we bought goats with it. So it ended up impacting a lot of families and made us really happy in the process, and we still get reports back. And anybody who wants to can go to the gobgr.org website, and you can actually peruse some of the things that you can do if you want to be a part of a community development project.
Wow. So I guess Janice can finally say she got your goat.
Yep, Janice got my goat.
That's right.
she got my goat multiple times.
And actually, it's been going on for years. It's just that now we can admit it.
There you go.
It went public. It just went public. Yep. That's all.
Yep, she got my goat and went public with it. That's right.
That's right. Well, hey, something I'm really excited about, Chuck, is as far as the Tell Your Story campaign is concerned. Of course, we're always working on the Tell Your Story campaign. I think I eat, breathe, and sleep Tell Your Story right now, as well as the Kentucky Baptist Convention's Baptist College Ministries. I mean, between those two things, that's a fair amount of the work that we're constantly, you know, thinking about doing. But we just did a big upgrade to the website for Tell Your Story, and it's been really great. I mean, it's been a great, great experience. We have some of the best programmers on the planet that work with us and do so because they love Jesus, and they love doing the kind of work they do, and they are very good to us as far as the absolute quality of work that they give and the heart of the work they do is just amazing. And so we were able to have one of our guys address an issue that we really had with the Tell Your Story website, and it's a good issue to have, but it's an issue that was really serious about the traffic. We just get so much traffic on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, that it causes problems. You know, that can cause problems with Google and with others. And we had a lot of platforms that we you know, we had out there. We were trying to make this thing as foolproof as possible. And you know what? It just broke too often. And I called a friend of mine who works with me, and I said, look, we got to get this fixed. And I have to, you know, we just got too much traffic. We're too busy. And he goes, man, that's a good problem to have. And I said, I know it is, but we just got to fix it. And he went to work, and he has done some amazing, amazing work with Tell Your Story. We relaunched over the weekend. Probably most users that have been using it probably didn't see any difference, but some of them may have experienced some weird texting patterns over the last week or so while we were fixing it. Some of you have called us and told us that, you know, you received some texts and then you didn't, and then you received a bunch and you didn't. And I appreciate your patience with us. It's now ever been. It works great. We've been able to eliminate. Basically what we did was we rewrote the whole platform of texting to people. And so when people give their story and they sign up for the Engage platform and we hook them up now, it's a completely different platform. And our guy Travis is his name. He just redid the whole thing for us, and it's absolutely fantastic. It gives us all kinds of reporting, and it gives us all kinds of new possible features that we can develop in the future. And you know, there's still some bugs we're going to work out, Chuck. I mean, we've got some things we want to work out as far as what the actual text says when it comes to people and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, the platform itself, we've been testing it all weekend. It works really great. People are getting their text messages. We can see if something goes wrong. Like sometimes your carrier will reject a message and it'll send a message why, and we can look at that and then we can fix it more immediately if it has something to do with us. Or we can contact somebody and say, hey, you know what, we're noticing that this is a problem. Did you change phones? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes people like me, you know, they don't like to spend any money. So what they do is they'll get on the phone and they'll start saying, well, you know, I wonder what AT&T will do for me now that I've been with Verizon all this time. Or maybe you move to a new area and maybe Verizon is a better carrier for you in that area. I know that happened to you, Chuck. You went to Kentucky and Verizon was a better handler for you. So, you know, you change sometimes you change carriers, but you keep the same number. So now we're going to be able to know all of that. We'll be able to see it, and we'll be able to contact people and let them know, hey, you know, that we have a problem. Can you, you know, let's see if we can help you make sure we get connected. So that we did not have in the past. We had to kind of guess, and now we know for sure because of the way he wrote this platform. It's a lot better. So now it's going to be cleaner. It'll be much faster. We've been testing it. It's usually within 2 or 3 minutes somebody gets a text message. That's the worst end of it. It's happening as fast as, you know, 10 to 12 seconds. So it just kind of depends on your carrier and how fast you're, you know, how close you are to the satellite, and there's a lot of things. But what's nice is it's totally seamless now, and I think people are going to have they've had a good experience before, but I think they're even going to have a better experience now. And the nice thing for us is that we know that it'll have, instead of having more like, a, you know, like maybe a 90 to 92% uptime, which means, you know, we're not down very often, but we were down. Now we can know we're at a 98%. Uptime, and the 2% typically has nothing to do with us. Typically that has something to do with, you know, the carrier, or sometimes it's phone settings. You know, sometimes it's a lot of things. But now at least we can pinpoint. So I'm really excited about that. I want people to know about our work on the Tell Your Story website. And then the other cool thing is we've been testing for about a month now. Something that we're going to be rolling out this month. I guess in May. I mean, we're at the end of April, but in May, I hope to roll out a cool plugin that people will be able to select other languages, and it will turn the website into different languages. And that looks like it's going to work just great. So we're going to be rolling that out over the next couple of weeks, so people will start going, and if they have friends that speak Spanish or Portuguese, or maybe they have missionaries in other places, we're going to be able to service them by allowing the website to have access in different languages. So we're testing that out. We're finishing up our testing. We're pretty sure that we've got it all dialed. We're just going to start rolling it out so people can click on that button and choose a different language, and then the site will be in a different language. So we're pretty excited about that. And we've got lots of other things we're working on all the time, Chuck. It's like I get up in the morning and I smell Tell Your Story. It's just something I think about all the time. But we're excited about all the different things the churches are doing. I've got guys on my staff that are working with a church this week to do a Tell Your Story party, and I want to talk more about that on the next show that we do, how that went and how other churches can do that. We're excited about that. We've got people who are calling us and giving us ideas all the time. So, you know, and they write us on the website. You go to the website and click on the link at the bottom and send us a message. Let us know if there's something that we can do to make it better. We're always looking to make the Tell Your Story experience better for our users and our storytellers. And Chuck, we're consistently getting 4, 5, 6, sometimes 700 visits a day. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of visits and stories are listened to a month. And it absolutely blows my mind every single time I look at the numbers. So I'm not too excited, but I wanted to
share with you. Do we have a count on how many people have accepted Christ as a result of just going on and logging on and listening to the stories?
Yeah, we have my last count was 21 or 22. 21 or 22 was my last number, and I have not looked from this weekend. And from the end of last week, I've been so busy, and I haven't looked, so I'm going to go on and look later on today, and I'll get that number updated. But it is certainly 21 or 22 right now, and we're seeing that number kick over more often now. You know, like before, we might see a decision every, 2 weeks, and now suddenly we're starting to see a decision a week. You know, it's starting to kick over more regularly. So I think as it ramps up, we're going to see more and more people come to know Jesus, which is the whole reason why we did it, is so that people
That's
can share their
right.
stories. Yeah. And so, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of comments of people who have left comments on different stories and have just said, thank you for sharing this story. And it's just been so awesome. And, you know, and we've heard from lots of storytellers who it was probably the greatest thing they've ever done was going through the process of sharing this story and being able to share it with other people. So overall, it has just been such an amazing journey to get to where we are. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen over the next many months as we continue to push the envelope on this thing and see how many people we can impact for the gospel using it.
Hey, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, and, you know, the thing that matters is that, you know, as we do this, I know you're also engaging with topics that we're going to be connecting with, and so you might want to say a word about that.
Yeah, we have for one thing, we've changed all of our categories down the side. If people go to tellyourstory.com, or I'm sorry, tellyourstory.today, they'll see down on the side, it's all been reorganized. So now you've got different topics that you can, you know, if you have an affinity to something or maybe it'll give you an idea. Like if you're a person that hasn't given your story, but you want some ideas of things that people have talked about, we have all of that. Plus we have all the different states that have been a part of it, and that continues to grow and all the different cities. But the other cool thing is that now with our connection with TrueLife.org, we have in – for many, many, many of ours, and we're continuing to update this all the time, Chuck, as we listen to more stories and we can make more connections. We have people that are connecting, additional resources to people that if there's depression, for instance, or maybe they have a question about who God is, or maybe they want to know about the question, why does God, why does it hurt sometimes? Why does God allow evil in the world? Or these other things that kind of are a part of people's journey toward understanding Jesus. We are now connecting those to certain stories. So if certain stories have a story about, being from a family of depression, if we can connect some information for them about understanding the biblical view of depression and how to understand that better and where to get help and other stories of people who have fought through that or whatever, we're trying to make those connections now. So it's becoming a robust system of people getting connected to resources as well as the stories. And then, of course, we're trying to categorize them all the time. The categorization process is organic. It's constantly happening. We have people, we have a 72-year-old lady who listens to every single story and helps us categorize them from that level. And then we have other people who listen to the stories, and then they'll take other stories and they'll listen to them and they'll say, yeah, this one really to have this connector to it. And we have a whole group of people that they just sit around and listen to these stories and they make sure that they are as well represented on the website as possible. And it is going very well. And we are excited about those those folks who have stepped up to help us with that. And I'm really excited about it because it's becoming a much greater tool than we ever thought it would be. And it really is beginning to develop into something that is got a very robust scope as far as the different subjects and the different kinds of people and the different places. And so we're pushing now, Chuck, to see other people from other states get involved and other things. You know, of course, the majority of our stories and our storytellers are from the state of Kentucky. But we do have others. We have about, I think my last count might have been 13 or 15 different states. I'd have to look for sure. It changes all the time, Chuck, so I can't hardly keep up with it unless I actually sit down to look at it. But we have lots of different states and lots of different cities and people, and I mean, it's crazy. It's just it's like opening up your email every morning and having. I'll literally open up my email and I'll have 100 emails from overnight from different things that have happened and people that have been added and things that have been going on, and people are connecting with us all over the United States to help. And so it is a massive effort, and I just cannot tell you how grateful I am for who God has sent us, and who God continues to send as we just continue to really pluck at this thing until everyone that can share their gospel, share their story with the world. So we're excited.
Cam, that's what it's all about. You know, you have done a tremendous job of allowing us and those who participate in Tell Your Story to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're beginning now to see more and more people come to Christ through it, more and more people sharing their faith and have ever shared their faith before. And just to see God moving in that way. And that's what Promise of Hope is all about. We are engaged in helping people encounter Jesus.
That's right. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of the show. Join us next time as we will talk more about the Kentucky Baptist Convention, Promise of Hope, Baptist Global Response, Vineyard Evangelism, all the subjects that are current in the world of what we know as evangelism and sharing our story with others, helping people encounter Jesus. Thanks so much for being a part of our show, and have a great week. This is Promise of Hope on the Blog Talk Radio Network.